Plus 49.
Hello, everybody. My name is Sigrid Arteaga, and this is Plus 49. We are in the middle of summer, and for those of you already in vacations, maybe in the warm Malé, or enjoying the nature in Sweden, we wish you a great summer time. Today, we will talk with Anastasia about Ausbildungen as a possibility for you all who are looking for changing in a career, or maybe just starting one here in Germany. This week's update might bring you some good news. According to the Tagesspiegel, Berlin is naturalizing citizens much faster thanks to the new digital applications. This development is crucial as the backlog of unprocessed applications had some dating back to 2005. But the introduction of a digital naturalization process at the beginning of the year is paying off. The State Office for Immigration, LEA, reports that as of July 14th, they had already naturalized 6,534,000 people, with 5,900 of those naturalizations occurring since April 1st. This significant increase is attributed to the digitalization process system, which has led to a noticeable reduction in delays. Interior Senator Aires Spranga of the SPD has set a target of 20,000 naturalizations per year, and the LEA is tracked to meet this goal. The state authority recorded over 25,000 applications for naturalizations by mid-July, processing an impressive average of 139 applications per day in the second week of July. To manage the backlog efficiently, the LEA has fully digitized all 400,000 old applications from the districts, some of which were over a decade old. However, applications submitted before the start of the year still take longer to process. If you submitted a new digital application this year, you can expect accelerated processing. But if you want your older application processed at this new speed, you will have to resubmit it in the digital form and pay a fee of 245 euros. Up next, we'll explore some exciting events coming to Berlin this summer. Germans are known for their strong work ethic, but they also have a profound appreciation for their time off. In fact, vacations are considered almost sacred here. It's common for Germans to plan their holidays well in advance, and they often make the most of their time away from work. Even Chancellor Olaf Scholz started vacations this week. Did you know that Germans have some of the highest amount of vacation days in the world? Full-time employees are entitled to a minimum of 24 vacation days per year, but many companies often even more, often around 30 days. Add in the public holidays and you've got a lot of opportunities to explore and relax. To put this in a perspective, in the United States, the average worker gets about 10 days per year, while in Japan it's about 10 to 20 days, often with many employees not taking their full entitlement. But where do Germans like to go on vacations? Well, the choices are as diverse as the country itself. Many Germans love to travel within their own country, visiting the stunning beaches of the North Sea and Baltic Sea, the picturesque countryside of Bavaria, or the scenic beauty of the Black Forest. However, Germany's central location in Europe makes it very easy to venture beyond its borders. Popular international destinations include the sunny beaches of Spain, Malé, the cultural treasures of Italy, and the scenic landscapes of Austria and Switzerland. Long-haul destinations like the United States, Thailand, and the Caribbean are also favorites. And it's not just about the destinations. Germans are known for their meticulous travel planning. From booking flights and accommodations to organizing detailed itineraries, they like to ensure everything runs smoothly. This planning often includes researching local costumes, languages, and cuisine to fully immerse themselves into the experience. One interesting cultural aspect is the concept of Urlaub machen, making vacations. For many Germans, vacations are not just about relaxing. They're about experiencing new things, learning about different cultures, broadening their horizons. Whether it's hiking in the Alps, exploring historical sites, or simply enjoying local food and wine, vacations are a time for enrichment. Of course, the pandemic has changed travel habits significantly. While international travel is picking up again, many Germans have discovered their beautiful of the local and regional destinations, often opting for road trips and nature holidays. So, if you're new to Germany or planning to move here, take a cue from the locals. Make the most out of your vacations, explore new places, and create memorable experiences. After all, as the German says, Reisen bildet, travel educates. Today, we have Anastasia with us. She has been living in Berlin for almost 8 years. She did her Ausbildung in hospitality here. Welcome, Anastasia. So you arrived in Berlin knowing German. How was your learning process in your hometown?
Hi, Sigrid. Thank you very much for having me. It's a big honor for me. So please learn languages. I think this is the huge benefit right now. I think I started learning German in 2009, and my father chose for me the Goethe Institute. It's by embassy in my hometown, and I think I spent more than 4 years learning this, and I was the only one in my group which had an interest in learning German. Just, okay, I like the language, because everyone was I'm gonna study there. I have my husband, future husband in Germany or something like this. And I was really only one like, okay, I like this language. I want to know this language. Yes. And then I had my bachelor in English and German as well. So the German was the huge part of my study. And I think I did it like an all day long, translating my cell phone and with my friends, just texting everyone, learning with the songs, like 24 hours, to be honest. Yes, it was a very, very funny time. And I really miss it right now, because right now I speak fluent German. Yes, but I still learn it. I still learn it.
Even with the knowledge of the language, you were confronted with situations where you probably didn't understand the culture. Tell us a little bit about those situations.
Thank you. This is the good question. I thought I was really good prepared, because while I was learning language, I spent 2 times in Berlin, each 3 weeks with a students group, learning language all of 3 weeks. It was the best time. And I was surrounded by the people from around the world. And the only language which we had was German as well. So I was really, really good prepared, as you already understand. But I wasn't. And it was very surprising, because you have all of the things to learn. It depends how you start. But my first step was the Ausbildung. It's apprenticeship in Germany. And this is the exclusive program in Germany. I don't know if any country has the same. Usually it's for 3 years. And the benefits are you can gain experience in working. You pay in the social system, and it's good for your future living permit, for example. And of course, you have your school. For example, I had a hospitality school 1 week a month, and 3 weeks I had my department room service or reception or something like this. It means you can learn all of the words you need to work in this department as well. Yes, and I think that's the best way to integrate if you came here, because if you study, you can choose the language, English language to study, and maybe you will have a lot of international students. Of course, we had international people as well, but I think I had almost Germans there. And the interesting thing, back to your question, was they gave me the feeling that you don't need to speak a very good German. And I was really surprised, because I spent a lot of years to learn this. But they told me, no, it's fine. You can make mistakes. We understand you're a foreigner. You have to learn. And I was like, I had a lot of pressure. If I work here, I have, or do an apprenticeship, I have to speak very, very good. And of course, I started my apprenticeship in a 5-star luxury hotel. I mean, the guests, and I was trying to speak everything so good out, so nobody will know I'm a foreigner. And Yeah, so nobody would tell me, okay, why you can't understand me. Yes, I had a big pressure and they took it away from me. So I think it was very surprising for both sides.
Dear Anastasia, one of the things that brought you to Germany was the Ausbildung. Tell us a little bit more about the time there and what did you study during the time? What are the key things that you will say, oh, this was a great experience?
I think the most beautiful feeling was I had like Welpenschutz, you would tell it in German. The name is puppy protection. It means you're working, but you're studying, so you're learning, so you can do all of the mistakes. So it's, I think it's a very, very good benefit if you came to the country, you're pretty new, you don't know any law or something like this, yeah? And in your school, you really learn all of the parts of the social system. It means for the future, for your German permit or German passport or all of the stuff in future you probably will need, you have everything already because you learned it in the school. It means you're prepared. And I think that the biggest benefit I had was the German tax system. Because my teacher told me in the class, like in your apprenticeship, you don't need to pay the taxes because your salary is so small and so little, you don't pay any taxes on it. And I was like, okay, wait, I think it was after 8 months. And I checked my salary and then I managed, I saw, okay, I paid already since 8 months. And you know what the problem was? That I didn't ever become this letter from the German tax system, which with my ID with for the tax number. And that's why I was in the tax class number 6, which is the expensive one. So it was a very, very interesting moment. But I got all of the money back and I had those moments in new flats. So everything was very, very good. So this is the biggest benefit that which I had.
Welpenschutz is definitely a very nice word there. How did you feel as an international in this context? Were you the only one? Was it complicated for you to adapt?
I had a pretty international class while I did this apprenticeship and it was very, very nice. We had, for example, you always sit with the one person behind you or next to you. And our teachers put us with the German native speakers. And it was very, very good because they help us and understand if we ask something, it doesn't mean you need any help for the question. Probably we will need some translation or maybe more time to present something. And in Germany, it's always like this. You have to put your hand up like, okay, I have an answer. And it was always so fast for us foreigners in the class. So we had like this green, like, okay, I will first ask foreigners. And then a few seconds later, maybe the German speakers. Yeah, I'm very thankful for all of the teachers for their understanding.
That sounds also very sweet. The idea of migration, it's not as simple as it is actually when you start doing it. So migration is a hard process since you not only leave the people you leave behind, but also the way you know how to do things. So when at some point you start doing things your way and there's this internal conflict that you're doing the things right way, but since you're in a new country and they are doing things another way, then you're kind of like in between those. For instance, arriving pünktlich, arriving on the dot in Mexico means half an hour later, in Germany means 5 minutes before. On your experience, what are those things that you can see now that actually are better doing with the German philosophy?
Okay, this is a very, very interesting question. I think the first part of my answer will be, maybe it sounds wrong, but my German was so good that if I didn't understand something and I ask back, okay, what does it mean? The Germans asked me, why you don't understand it? Because they thought I am a native speaker. And then I had a huge conflict with it because I was like, no, I'm not asking because I don't know what kind of name is it or the object, subject, but I don't understand. I just need to learn it. And then they understood. But it was very difficult for me because I was so proud. I can speak German very well. But okay, it was a very interesting moment. And then, as I already told, there is no apologize for something. And I was expecting if you will go to the hospital, you have some illness or you'd feel bad. I was waiting. Okay, everyone would help me. They're here right now. Of course, no. Nobody would come. They just ask you, are you dying right now or no? Okay, no. So you can wait like 6 hours and it's fine. And it was in the first year and I was expecting and nothing happened. But right now I know I'm not expecting anything. I'm trying to not expect something. Yes, but maybe this is the difference. Yeah.
But how about the things that actually are done better in the way that Germans do it? For instance, I do appreciate nowadays that I am on time. And when I mean I am on time, I'm actually 5 minutes before time, because at least people can understand when I'm coming. In Mexico, they will probably wait and wait and wait for me, but this is normal. So I do believe that punctuality is a German thing, and I'm actually very grateful for it.
I think I'm so German that I don't have anything of this. I am really proud to say this, but as you see, I don't have any expectations anymore, but I am watching it. I learn it every day, so I know how they're expecting the things to be done. yes, maybe something would come, but I think I feel really, really good with this. Maybe we don't have this such big difference between two nations.
And I have to do a disclosure here for everybody who says that dating in Germany and dating in Berlin is very complicated. Anastasia has been for 3 years now with a German boyfriend. So there are hope for those who are single in Berlin and want to date.
Yes, he's really lovely. Yes, and I think he's really proud that I can speak so good German as well. And yeah, it's very, very, very nice. I think Berlin is the best city to live and with all of the benefits.
We are back here with Anastasia. And for this last part of the segment, we want to ask you about your job situation regarding specifically once you started working. What are the things you first realized were so different from the work culture that you had in your country?
This is the very good question. I think the very interesting experience was you're not forced to say what kind of illness you have if something happened to you. And this is the big difference for me. Of course, sometimes I think it's really, really neat to know what you have, like to plan any schedule with your employees. But I think it's a very, very good protection for the employees. But you need time just not to tell everything to everyone. Just keep it secret. Just learn it for the first time. I think there are a lot of reasons for this. Yes. And then maybe there is no guilty feelings from the employees or something if something doesn't happen or goes wrong. And maybe it's good or bad, but if you know that, you don't even wait for the apologizes for this. And these two things are big difference for me. Yeah. But I think it's good. Why we don't need any pressure. Work is hard anyway.
For those who are hearing us, do you have any suggestions to how to start an Ausbildung?
I think it's a very good point right now to find any Ausbildung Platz, like apprenticeship in Germany. I started in 2017. It was a completely different situation with employees in Germany. But right now they are open up for everyone, for any person from every country. And it's your moment. If you want to learn, do it. And I think it's very interesting to know that it's quite the same right now as a study year. But as I already told, you pay in a social system, you know it's the best way to integrate because you have this Welpenschutz, Baby Protection.
And with that, we will leave the podcast for today. And with us was Anastasia. And Anastasia has been living here for almost 8 years, has been doing Ausbildung, has been doing a lot of different things in Germany and specifically in Berlin. And it was great to have you here. Thank you so much. And hopefully we will talk back in a couple of more years and you can tell us your experience maybe as a married woman or maybe as a mother in Berlin.
Thank you very much for having me and I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Plus 49. Ask a German.
Since we're on this vacation modus, I would love to ask, dear German, why is the service culture in Berlin or in Germany so different than in the rest of the world? It's almost like there is no service culture in Germany at all.
The service culture in Germany is a good representation of the social norms and values that are important here, as well as how significant the differences can be compared to other countries. While you may be used to a very friendly and accommodating tone in the USA, in Germany you are more likely to encounter very direct responses. This is mainly due to the fact that in the USA it is quite common for service staff to rely on tips alone, which often requires them to be particularly friendly. In Germany, this is not the case. Everybody is guaranteed the Mindestlohn or minimal wage, and everything else is seen as a bonus. Tips are still very appreciated and common, but the staff doesn't rely on them as much as, for example, the workers from the USA. Generally, service staff here also thrive to be friendly and polite, but the focus is more on problem solving rather than pleasant communication. The goal is to resolve issues quickly rather than engage in lengthy conversations. This pragmatic approach can be refreshing for those who appreciate efficiency, but may feel impersonal for others. By doing so, Germans are often very direct, which can quickly be perceived as brusque or even rude, but it is usually not intended that way. That's simply our way of communicating. Additionally, like many things in Germany, the service culture is very rule-orientated and employees are somewhat limited in their decision-making freedom, as they have to follow a strict codex. Employees in the service sector are typically well-trained and knowledgeable about their products or services. Whether in restaurants, retail, or hospitality, customers can expect staff to be competent and capable of addressing their needs effectively.
And that is a wrap-up for today's episode here at Plus 49. We hope you enjoy it. Stay curious, stay safe, and keep exploring. My name is Sigrid Arteaga, and thank you for spending your time with us. Till next time.